Revelation chapter 13. I have to confess, I know I'm going to be in trouble. I went over the sermon. It's 1 hour long. So the Lord said, you have to cut it in half and do the other half next week. The half that I'm cutting in half that I'm doing next week is revealing to you who the Antichrist is. I'm not sure how many weeks I can get away with this. So you will have to now come back next week for me to have the revealing, okay? We're just going to go over more information building up to it, but I can't tell you till next week. So a lot of people are away for Labor Day, so maybe the Lord knew that and I didn't. Revelation 13. Let's review real quick here, so next week. In Revelation chapter 12, we went over Satan. He's symbolized as a dragon. He's the anti-father of the anti-trinity. In Revelation chapter 13, then, we're introduced to two more beasts or two more individuals known as the Antichrist and the false prophet. We went over the Antichrist last week. He's a man that comes along very charismatic. He makes a peace with Israel for 7 years, but in the middle of the 7 years, he is going to go into the temple and declare himself God. He is going to become the ruler of the whole planet Earth, which seems so weird to me that someone could become the ruler of the Earth, but I want you to understand that in the middle of the tribulation, by the middle of the tribulation when he does that, over 50% of the people on the planet have been killed in wars and famine and stuff. So you can imagine what anguish the whole earth is in, that they've lost 50% of the population and the church has been raptured out. So at that point, with all the chaos and the horribleness of war, it makes sense to me that all the nations would join together under one leader, so you wouldn't have all of these problems. The unfortunate thing is that one leader is going to be the Antichrist. The Antichrist has a fake wound resurrection. The Antichrist loves to curse out God, his name, the people in heaven, and heaven itself. The Antichrist, from the middle of the tribulation to the end of the tribulation for 3.5 years, makes it his personal mission to kill every Christian he can find, starting with the two witnesses, then going to the 144,000 Jewish evangelists in chapter 14. All of them are up in heaven. They've been martyred. And then any other person who becomes a Christian is going to be killed by the Antichrist. So there's the anti-Trinity. The dragon is the anti-father, Satan. The Antichrist is the anti-Jesus. And then you have, he's called the beast here in chapter 13. Later on, he is called the false prophet. That's the anti-spirit. So let's pick up in verse 11. This is the anti-spirit of the anti-trinity. So verse 11, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And who's the dragon? Satan, okay? So I got a picture of a lamb, but he's speaking like a dragon. So the false prophet is the spiritual side. The Antichrist is the political side. The false prophet's job is to kind of be the spiritual and to get people to worship the Antichrist. But he speaks on behalf of the anti-father, which is the dragon or Satan. Just as the Holy Spirit convicts us to worship Jesus and speaks on behalf of the Father. All right, verse 12. He exercised all the authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose fatal wound had been healed. So they staged this false death and resurrection just like Jesus. And the mission of this false prophet is to get people to worship this Antichrist. Of course, he doesn't call him the Antichrist. He calls him Jesus. Verse 13, and he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. So here we got the Antichrist on the right side. He's kind of the political dashing. He's, you know, going to be Jesus. This is the false prophet. He's the religious person. He's calling fire down from heaven. And the false prophet is going to create a statue, a big idol of the Antichrist that he wants everyone to worship. And that's, of course, the temple, the Jewish temple in the background. Verse 14, because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, on behalf of the Antichrist, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the... Ooh, now we're told. How was the Antichrist wounded? By the sword. You need to circle that, underline it. We're going to get back to that next week, right? So now we have another piece of information. He's wounded by the sword and yet lived. So the false prophet sets up the ultimate idol that he says everyone needs to worship, the Antichrist. That's this idol. Verse 15, he was given, this false prophet was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, the Antichrist, so that he could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. So something, some huge idol is made that the false prophet is able to make speak and can tell if you're worshiping the idol or not. Lots of theologians now predict that perhaps this idol that is set up is a huge robot. You realize that the Apostle John, 2,000 years ago, I have no idea when anyone ever conceptually thought of robots, but I'm guessing that's probably only the last couple hundred years. But anyway, the Apostle John is looking into the future 2,000 years, and he's describing some kind of statue that is set up that everyone's going to worship, but he sees that the statue comes alive. And lots of people think it's a robot. This is Sophia. Has anyone seen Sophia on TV yet? It's scary. It is scary. When you go home, go on, you know, internet and look up Sophia's interviews with like late night talk show host, or this is Sophia on Good Morning America. She can talk, carry on a conversation, and she has all kinds of human facial expressions. They have already experimented that when they put Sophia in people's homes, within 2 or 3 weeks, you believe she's human. They want to start with the elderly that all by themselves will get one of these social robots, and you will have a companion for you, okay? This is one of the male versions. This is scary. This is the latest version they come out with. That is actually not a real girl. That is one of these social robots. So it's like, whoa, this is kind of frightening where we're going with the technology. I watched one of her interviews that was scary. The person gives a joke to Sophia, and she jokes back, and she says, yes, we will be taking over the earth someday. Maybe this possibility. Or the real statue comes alive somehow, however you want to look at it. Verse 16, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the number of the beast, it's the number of the Antichrist, or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast. For it is man's number. His number is what? 666. Just like King Nebuchadnezzar made a statue of himself and said, everyone, you will bow down to the statue or I will have you killed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to bow down to the statue. And of course, he throws them into the fiery furnace where they meet Jesus, okay? This statue is going to be the ultimate idol because it actually will tell if you're bowing down before it or not. And if you don't bow down before it, you go to your death. Everyone gets a mark. And it's symbolized by this. Everyone's going to get a mark either on their right hand or on their forehead. 666 is connected to this. It could be his name. It could be a tattoo. It could be a chip. The Greek leaves it open, so we don't know exactly what the 66 is. Although it's fun to ponder it, and for the rest of the sermon here, we're going to ponder, okay? We're going to kind of think through. Now, there are some crazy people on the internet. I can't believe how many people have tattooed themselves with 666, okay? I'm like, hopefully they'll get saved and put some lines on the other side to make it look like 999 instead. This is a guy 6 months ago, him and his girlfriend robbed a store, but they were able to identify him easily because he has 666 tattooed on his forehead. I'm like, very brilliant. Many people think that the biochip is going to be the mark of the beast. The biochip is, you know, a chip that's in your hand, and with it you can buy things and open up doors and have your records on it. And right now it's about the size of a grain of rice. The latest biochip that's been in the news in the last, like, month is Verichip Company, and they went to their employees and said, would you guys like to be the first ones? And half the employees of the company have said yes and half said no. So the biochip companies already know that you guys are tough. So this is actually the strategy they want to use. First, they're going, let me back up. Let me tell you that right now, the Verichip and the biochips are not GPS able. And the reason why they're not is because in order for it to be GPS able, it has to have an internal power source. And they don't want to put in big batteries like a heart pacemaker. And in the news, I'm not kidding, in the last couple of weeks, they've been discussing how they think they can use the heat of the body to produce power to activate a GPS so that your signal, right now, to use a chip, you have to go to a power source that can read the chip, but the power source is on the outside. In order to be GPS activated, you need the power source in your hand so that it can send out a signal for your location. Does anyone follow that? But that's what they're working on, and they do not believe they're very far away from having a GPS inside the Verichip. So look, this is the strategy they're going to use. First of all, you understand that all babies should get a Verichip in them, because that would prevent people mix-ups at the hospital and you go home with the wrong baby. This would prevent if someone comes in and steals your baby from the hospital with that Verichip. We'll put that in right when they're born, and now we can GPS locate them. So if anyone tries to steal your baby, we're going to be, you know, in today's world, it's very dangerous with kids, and kids are being abducted and all that stuff. But if we Verichip all the children and the babies, you know, as soon as they're abducted, you'll know we'll be police GPS, catch the criminals. I think we can all agree that babies and children should get the Verichip. And the next group, the elderly, you know, when you're up there in age and, you know, you're in those special senior homes and they don't want to lock you down. Sometimes you get lost. You leave and you get lost, and some elderly people, they die because they can't find them. It would be so much more convenient if we give the elderly Verichips. That way, if they, you know, they get lost in the fields or in the neighborhood, we'll be able to GPS them, find them, get right. I mean, it totally makes sense. Immigrants, oh yeah, we want to do them for sure. And those foreigners, they come in here, they come in with a visa, and they wind up staying here forever. This way, we know right where they're at, and the 6 months is up, we can. The people in prison, absolutely, let's chip. They don't deserve any rights. Let's put chips in them. If they break out of prison, we'll be able to track them down really fast. And parolees, they're always not doing their meetings. And I want to know if the child molesters are living in my neighborhood. With the GPS, we'll know right where they are, and we can monitor them and track them. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then gun owners. This is a really good thing for gun owners, that the chip will activate your personal gun. And that way, we're not breaking the First Amendment of your rights to bear arms. You can bear arms. And this is good because if your kid picks up your gun, he can't fire it. If someone breaks into your home and grabs your gun, he can't fire it. Only you, with the chip in your hand that matches the gun, only you can fire it. And of course, now the government can know when you're firing your gun and why you fired it. And if someone dies, they know exactly who to go. You see how convenient that would be for all gun owners, okay? And then, of course, the military and the government, they have to do it. You realize the advantage of having all the military people having a Vera chip with a GPS tracker, so the generals behind the scenes with the big computers, they can literally know where every soldier is, and they can know if they're under stress, if the Vera chip can pick up their heartbeat, if they've been injured, if they've died, where you can know the exact location of all your men and women and going into battle. What, think of the advantage of that. Now, we can all agree on these people right here, right? After we all agree on that, this church will be the only one left without one. You'll have to, at that point, you'll probably just capitulate, right? My prediction, by the way, is how many years do you think before we're all Vera-chipped? How close are we to a cashless society? So whatever this mark is, whatever this is, people can't buy or sell unless they have this mark of the Antichrist, which is very weird, but a cashless society would be able to do that. So how close are we to a cashless society? Well, in the United States, 80% of all buying, selling is already electronically done. Over in Europe, France, most of Europe is already cashless. France and Spain, it's illegal to buy anything over $1,000 in cash. If you buy something for $1,100 in cash, you go to jail, okay? That's the law of the land as they're heading to a cashless society. The experts actually claim that we could go to a cashless society in the world in less than 1 year, that the technology is there. It's just convincing the people to go for it. Europe has already gone for it, as well as many other countries. The U.S., there's some holdouts, okay? This is in India. India has over 1 billion people. They are 1/6 of the world's population. In India, they have a program called Aadhaar, and it's their identification to buy, sell, whatever, connected to their license, their credit cards, their bank account, and everything. To get into the program, you get fingerprinted, and then you do your eye retinals to identify yourself permanently in the financial buying and selling. You with me? What percent of the 1 billion have already been fingerprinted and their eyes scanned over in India? 95%. Yes. So already 1/6 of the world has totally moved to a positive eye scanning, fingerprinting movement. In Sweden, Sweden is almost totally cashless society. The government had to give all the homeless card readers to put on their phones. Now, I think it's kind of funny because they're homeless, but they all have phones. No matter where you go, Africa, they have nothing, but they have cell phones. So when you're in Sweden and you want to give a dollar to, they hand you their phone and you swipe and put in, I want to give this homeless person a dollar, and because they don't carry any cash. It says there in Revelation that 666 could be the name of the beast. These are the Hebrew letters. In Hebrew, there is no 1, 2, 3. They use A for 1, B for 2. And using the Hebrew alphabet, it turns out that Nero Caesar adds up to 666. He is the Caesar that's alive at the time of the writing of the book of Revelation. So lots of people believe that John actually meant Caesar Nero was the Antichrist. There's a couple of problems with that. Number one, the whole first part of Revelation hasn't occurred. Number two, Nero didn't have a statue set up of himself that everyone had to worship. Number three, he wasn't injured with the sword. Number four, all the, 50% of the world's population wasn't killed. He didn't go into the temple and declare himself God. So there's lots of reasons why Nero Caesar is probably not the ultimate Antichrist, but a type of Antichrist. 666 is also the dimensions of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar made in Daniel chapter 3. The statue is 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and if the base is a square, 6 cubits long. So some people think that's the dimensions of the huge idol. Well, I'm going to skip that one. This is the roulette wheel. And the guy that founded this gambling actually kind of knew what he was doing. So the numbers on a roulette wheel go from 0, or double 0, to 36. And the guy that put this together knew exactly what he was doing. If you take 0 plus 1, plus 2, plus 3, plus 4, plus 5, plus 32, plus 33, 34, 35, 36 equals, what do you think that equals? 666. So anytime you're gambling, you're like, Satan's like, I love it. I love it. That's my game. That's my number. I create it, and the house always wins. Thank you. Visa. So when the credit cards came out, everyone was very suspicious that they were the mark of the beast. MasterCard wants to master you. Visa, the guy that created Visa, he originally claimed he basically kind of made this name up. But some are suspicious that V1 is the Roman numeral for 6, S is Sigma in Greek for 6, and A is Babylonian for 6. So that Visa itself means 666. This one is definitely more interesting. This is the UPC barcode. You've guys seen this? This is on every product like in the world. This is very suspicious. And I had to check for myself. So you go home and you can check for yourself. On the UPC bar code, there are three guards, they call them, three guards. They are in red. Do you see the three red double line things up there? Those are the bar guards. And they divide up into two separate numbers. That every product has two different numbers. I think the first number has to do with the actual product itself, and the second number has to do with the store and distribution, whatever. But anyway, there's a reason for those two different numbers. And there's bar guides that are on the two sides and in the middle. Those are the same on every one. So there's the numbers from 0 to 9, and there's different numbers of lines, there's different thicknesses of the lines, and they each represent a number. So you know when you scan a product, the computer is reading those lines, the thicknesses of them, and how many there are to come up with the number to figure out what the product is and what the price is. Everyone with me? Haven't lost? For whatever reason, do you see the number 6? It is in blue. Do you see what represents number 6? Do you see the two lines that represent 6? For whatever reason, the guy that created this back in the 40s used those two lines for his bar guides. Okay? And when he was pointed out, he was like, those aren't numbers, those are bar guides. It's just a coincidence and he didn't change it. He could have used like 3, that big thick line. He could have used that as the bar guides. He could have used 8. He could have used 9. He could have made up a totally different line, maybe a curvy line. But the fact of the matter is he used what looks identical to 6. And so every barcode looks like everyone, the numbers change in between, but everyone has a 6, 6, and a 6. So you take it for what you want. But what a coincidence that you can't, that's how you scan and you can't buy or sell without one of those. Some people think that the 666, the anti Antichrist, or the type of Antichrist, will be using the English language. So A is 6, B is 12, C is 18, all the way up to Z. They put all of that into a computer. English is the most international language. So the computer pops out the few words, there actually isn't that many, that add up to 666. Would you like to know what they are? You're supposed to say yes. Yeah, okay. I'm glad you asked. Because the first one I think is funny. And I actually took my calculator out and did like three or four of them. I did not do all of them. I just wanted to make sure. I did do this one. The first one is computer itself. So computer adds up to 666, as well as these other ones. Kissinger, Nuclear Hell, New York, U.S. of America, and your SS number, okay? Some people thought Ronald Reagan. This is a book that was written that he is the Antichrist. And the reason he's the Antichrist is look at his name, Ronald Wilson Reagan. How many letters in Ronald? Six. Six. Wilson? Six. Reagan? Six. And when Ronald Reagan left the White House, he moved to 666 St. Cloud Road. His wife then changed it to 668. Okay, so that's very suspicious. And when he was in the White House, he was an attempted assassination. Might have died, but he survived. That's that fake resurrection. Okay, however, what's the problem with that? How does the Antichrist get injured? Sword, okay. So I got to close. My last one here will be humorous for you. There's CERN, which is three sixes. All right, hold on. There's the abyss. It's got me thinking about my name. After Ronald Wilson Reagan, I was like, whoa. What about my name? Joseph is six. Toomey is six. What about, and I had to count my middle name a few times to make sure I got it right. Okay. So I thought I was safe until the Lord said to me, people don't call you Joseph Francis Toomey. This is what they call you. I am not the Antichrist. So let me give you this thought. I call 666. So when I was researching this, I found out that for 2,000 years, Christians, no matter when they lived, could find something, whether it was the name of some world leader at that time or the symbol of something. Every Christian over 2,000 years could find something with 666. You with me? Here's what I think. I think it's Satan's signature. And he can't help himself but to sign things with 666. So no matter when you've been alive as a Christian, when you read the book of Revelation, you could go, whoa, there is some sinister dictator, and look how 666 is part of his king. Or it's amazing. So, right, you know, all these things that I just showed you, maybe they are. Maybe it is the signature of Satan. Maybe it's all part of his master plan. But ultimately, just as John says, there are many antichrists who have lived on the earth. But ultimately, the main Antichrist will come. And I think Satan has been signing lots of things with his signature through 2,000 years, 6666. But ultimately, there will be something in the tribulation that clearly you will understand if you take this. It's because you're rejecting Jesus Christ and you believe that the Antichrist is God. I don't think you'll be tricked into it. So in some sense, I don't think it's a verichip. If we all got the verichip, and then all of a sudden you find out, oh, that was a mark, I don't think we'll be tricked into it. You will, I think the church is gone. But for those Christians, for those people that become Christians during the tribulation, I don't think they'll be tricked into getting the 666. Whatever it is, they're going to make a conscious decision. I reject Jesus Christ and the Antichrist. You are God, and I'm going to bow down before the idol, and I'm going to worship Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and you will have that mark. I don't know what it is. I think we're only seeing Satan playing, but ultimately, the people will know during the tribulation time.